Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Shiur. Sensitive topic this evening. I wanted to speak about as we are approaching Parshas Mishpatim, as well as Super Bowl Sunday. So this is not usually a mar makom on the Jewish calendar. And I'm going to start by pointing out... it's unofficially on the Jewish calendar. Now, I'm not like a social media person at all. However, Nachi Gordon, I'm a fan of. He has done a lot of great work for Klal Yisrael. And he posted on Instagram that, again, someone showed me. I'm clueless when it comes to social media. But he basically wrote, are we being sensitive enough right now to the situation in Eretz Yisrael? Their husbands, sons, and daughters are protecting our homeland and are freezing in the north and fighting with blood, sweat, and tears in Gaza. And what's happening in America? We're basically coming off a vacation. Now, again, he social media has a certain tone to it and a certain style, but he started his little piece there by writing, since when did we become so insensitive? What? This is Nachi Gordon. He's the head of Meaningful Minute and the Daily Thread, co-host of the Meaningful People podcast. You know, you might have seen his face or heard his voice before. But I want to point out that it's very awkward at this point of the war. I don't know if a Shabbos went by in Sefer Bereishis where we did not connect the weekly shear to the war. And now that we are well into Sefer Shemos, let's just be real. It's very hard to continue to live in that state of intensity and sensitivity unless you're quote-unquote really in it. And I'll give a mashal. After 9/11, there was a question of, like, when can the world continue as normal? The World Series was delayed. And there's a great documentary called Nine Innings from Ground Zero. And it was all about the tension between, like, the World Series being awesome. And you know what would happen? Like, after the World Series games were over, the cops or the firefighters would then go back to, like, trying to dig through rubble. You know? And you have, like, this awkward reality. Like, let's just let loose for at least 2 hours to watch the Yankees play. And then we'll get back to reality a little bit. You know? Similar vein, in the music world, there was, like, this concert to support, you know, the firefighters in 2001, and they called it the concert for New York. And it's like this big question, like, when are we allowed to, like, play music again? Like, are we allowed to pick up a guitar? I remember it was like an awkward thing in 2001. When can the world kind of continue? Now here we find ourselves in the middle of a year, and in the beginning of the year, I'll tell you my own little world. TABC canceled a trip to the American Dream water park. We had rented out the water park, and we just couldn't go. Like, we just could not, like, we couldn't go. It was right after the war, and no one felt that it was appropriate to go into a water park. However, this Thursday night, TABC's program had been rescheduled, and no one is asking, do you really feel like we should be going to a water park? No one, right? Meaning, it's just a natural shift. And I don't hold anyone at fault for that. I myself was not bothered by the trip. Unanimously, all of the staff agreed it was inappropriate months ago. And unanimously, no one is speaking up this time saying, come on, it's a little bit insensitive, right? No one, right? And it's an interesting thing. Because
it actually depends if there's no major bad news coming from the war.
Okay, all right, very good point, Abe. So he's saying if things are relatively, quote-unquote, stable, so it requires, we'll say, less than dramatic response. So let's learn a little bit of Parsha and Halakha this evening and talk about the proper way to live as a sensitive Jew, not to lose the sensitivity, but to also live as a human knows how to live. So here we go. Vayal Moshe ve'ar another ve'aviyu v'shivim mizikne Yisrael. It was time to get the Torah. Very exciting. But Yeru es Elokei Yisrael. And you know who they saw on top of our Sinai? The one and only. They saw Hashem. We don't really know what this means. V'tachas raglav. What was under Hashem's feet? We believe very strongly one of the 13 principles of faith is that Hashem does not have a body. Torah is very mystical in this week's parsha towards the end. What did they see under Hashem's legs? Kemasa livnata sapir. Some form of stone. Stone made out of some form of special gem. Uke'etzem ha-shamayim ha-tohar. And then all of a sudden there's a different description of something else that's not a stone. And you know what the Gemara Yishami says? There are two different time periods being referred to in the Pesukim over here. When was Hashem resting his feet on stone? That was when we were still slaves in Mitzrayim. But once we were freed, the stone was put back where it belonged. In Shemam, again, very hard to understand, but this is not meant to be taken literally. But the Korban Eidah explains that there's a contradiction in the Pesukim. Was it a Livnan HaSapir or was it Etzem HaShemayim? Which one? They're not the same thing. So there are different time periods. Originally, when we were in trouble, Hashem said, I want to be in pain also. And therefore, I'm going to put a brick, stone type thing under my legs, just like Klal Yisrael is working on making stones and bricks. Aval Mishinigalu Nitna Halevena B'makom Haroila. It was now time to move on. That stone, that brick can be put in the proper place. And now I can be as normal, so to speak. And Rashi quotes this. Rashi quotes this exact Maimer Chazal in this week's Parsha. That before we were free, Lizkor Tzarasan Shel Yisrael, Hashem had to remember the pain of the Jews. Shehayu Mishubadim B'maisa Levanim. That we were building bricks. So Hashem wanted to be with us in our pain. Whoa. Now, here is where we see a problem. Where we have this tension where people want to, quote unquote, kick back a little bit, but it wasn't the right time. The Torah says that they saw Hashem. They saw Hashem. And you know what Pasuk Aleph says? Hashem did not send his hand forth towards members there, meaning the implication is that Hashem did not punish anyone seemingly. They saw God. And they ate and they drank. So first we'll learn Rashi, and then we'll learn the Ramban to highlight this exact tension. Number one, Rashi says they looked and they deserve to die because they should not have looked. They were not entitled to look, to glance at Hashem. They took advantage of an opportunity in an inappropriate way. And what does that mean? They saw God. They looked at God with a haughty heart out of a sense of achila v'shtia. And the mashal I'm going to use here is that, like, this is like watching a Super Bowl party in a shiva house. This is not the right time and place for that type of activity. You want to eat, drink, and sit, you know, back, you know, on a reclining chair, that's fine. But not when you're in the presence of the Ribono Shelo, meaning this is not time for that. So Nadav and Avihu here, that the Midrash is referred to specifically black and white, we're talking about Nadav and Avihu, are held accountable, according to one opinion in Chazal, for not being serious enough, not being quote-unquote sensitive enough to the Kedusha around them. But you know what Rashi says? Unkelus doesn't explain it this way. Totally different pshat. Unkelus and the Ramban. Same psukim, different world, 180 degrees. Unkelus says, you know why they weren't damaged? Well, they were in the presence of God. And they were celebrating with their korbanos. And what does the Torah mean by saying that they ate and drank? Hashem received their korbanos as if he ate and drank them. Namely, they offered korbanos at Har Sinai, and it was awesome. Hashem accepted their korbanos like a good feast. Who goes with this pshat? The Heiliger Ramban says, what does the Torah mean by saying that Hashem didn't punish them? Hashem didn't punish them because they did not deserve to be punished. They were instructed, don't touch the mountain. And Klal Yisrael succeeded by following the rules. And what does it mean that they ate and they drank? They ate the korbanos at the bottom of the mountain. And why do they eat and they drink? They were making a simcha and yom tov, because they were receiving the Torah. So of course you eat and you drink. And the Ramban goes on to compare this to a siyum. When you complete something, of course you celebrate. So Rashi on one hand says, Nadav and Avihu are being way too lightheaded, insensitive. And the Ramban argues and says, no, they were tapping into the simcha of the moment. They were supposed to be doing joyous things. It was a very joyous event. And here we are. On the Erev Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph. Now, let's assume that there's really no formal din of simcha in the first Adar. There's a machlokas. But let's assume that there's no formal simcha in the first Adar. And there's only really formal simcha in the second Adar. But the time that we're in right now on the halakhic calendar starts us to think about simcha, whether it's in a month or in a day from now. And there's also going to be a reality that we're not really ready to move on from that pain. There are people who are really in pain right now. So let's learn some makoros about how to move on or not move on when Klal Yisrael is in pain. And then we'll talk about more practical contemporary things that are going on, quote unquote, like in the world. There's a Gemara Yishami Tainis that says that Noach, when he went into the Teva, was not allowed to engage in marital intimacy. And Rabbi Avun says, you know what? When this also happened, Rabbi Levi rather, in the next Maimer and the Chazalav, and then the Gemara Tainis, Perek Aleph, Halacha Vav, Yosef had two children before the years of famine. Why does the Torah say that he had children before the famine? You know why? Because once the famine hit, they were not going to be able to engage in marital intimacy. Wow. Now the Gemara itself there says that there's a difference between people who have children and don't have children, something like that. But this is brought down the halacha l'masa. This is a sif in Shulchan Aruch. Passing is like this, Yerushalmi. Reish mem, yud beis. Sensitive halacha, sensitive area of Shulchan Aruch. Asr l'shamesh mitaso b'shnei ra'avon. If it's a year of famine, a couple is not allowed to be together unless they don't have children. To fulfill the mitzvah of Peru Avru would be allowed, but just to quote-unquote be together, forbidden in a year of a famine. Now, Poskim discussed the fact that we don't really have famines anymore. We, Baruch Hashem, are not really familiar with that concept. We have maybe a drought here and there, whatever, but we don't know what it means to really be out of touch with access to food in the halachic sense of the word.
And we don't know what's going to be.
Right. So how is it? We don't know, right? If it's a year, that's good. Yeah, the commissioner speaks, right? We don't really know how to at least measure the time of a famine. Very good. Right. Okay. So the Ramah argues this is not limited to a famine. Here he says, V'hu adin b'sha'ar tzaros. So you could understand that he's quoting the Yerushalmi Tainus, because the Gemara Yerushalmi was talking about the Mabul, not just the famine, also the Mabul. So it's a very clear concept. Wow. That's it. If you see, says the Gemara, a chisaron in the world, you separate from your wife. That's the lashon of the Gemara. B'shar sha'at ra'a chisaron bala'olam. Gemara finishes to say, separate from your wife. Wow. So let's assume this Ramah is the end of the story for a second. Every time there's a tzara of Klal Yisrael, we're not allowed to be intimate. So believe it or not, this question was asked this year. Rav Asher Weiss received this question. Raya Leibowitz received this question. Poskim were asked by the holy members of our nation since October 7th, maybe it's inappropriate to be together intimately. And the Poskim were mekel. And they said, no, that's not really how we practice in our generation. And maybe to the contrary, meaning it could be more important to comfort one another, you know, when people need, you know, a little bit we'll say companionship, so to speak, right? So, practically, this is on the books, but the contemporary poskim this year who were asked the Shiloh were lenient on the Shiloh, at least the way I heard it from the poskim that were asked from, you know, Rav Asher Weiss of Ari Leibowitz. I don't know if anyone else in the world was more machmir.
One second.
Okay.
One second. Eino Dome Tzora for Klal Yisrael, that, like a pogrom that could happen any place, anywhere, constantly. Once the IDF responded, you know, you're not worried of another pogrom. Now, it's the army. It's the army. But, you know, the army, it's the normal that we have, thank God, an army.
I love that response. So AB saying like this: if you have a Holocaust, right, a Holocaust is where we're like the victims, and there's no like light at the end of the tunnel. In contrast, October 7th was like a one-time thing, and we are no longer quote unquote the victims. The only response I would say to that is that there are hostages, there is a war, and life is still not normal. So you're right. It's a fantastic point AB's making, that that level of
Sarah,
right, is limited to a large degree to one date on the calendar. In the same way that September 11th was one day, and there was a lot of pain that emerged after that day, but October 7th was the Sarah. It's not like an ongoing Sarah in that same level. It's a very nice point you're making. Ah, at the same time, we're clearly in an Ace Sarah, though, meaning you can't deny the fact that we're not an Ace Sarah, meaning you can't deny the fact that we're in an Ace Sarah. We are in an Ace Sar. Why? Because there are Chayalim who are putting themselves on the line. We would call a war an Ace Sar. Now, you want to make a distinction, maybe between...
It's not an imminent destruction like the time of Haman.
I hear... Yeah, very good. So, very good. You know, maybe AB saying it's not a famine... Not existential threat. Okay. At the same time, maybe some people would argue that we're pretty close to an existential threat. But... Yeah, I was about to... Yeah, right. You have the North, you have the South, and if... like Iran or Russia, are having a bad day, this could be pretty...
An atom bomb could drop any minute.
Yeah, always, right. All right, very good. I hear what you're saying. The point is well taken. But all right, so let's learn a little bit more, and we'll try to come away with a conclusion. And really, again, we'll say...
I'm trying to advocate that it's not as clear-cut as what the halakha is.
Right, what is... All right, so let's assume the Rama says something that's more dramatic than what we're experiencing, and we wouldn't necessarily have to follow that Rama today. Good. But there's an Agamar, Tainus of the Bavli, Yad Aleph Amarav. Amar of Yehuda Amarav, Kol Amarav Atzma B'Shnei Ra'avon, Nitzal Mimisa, meaning it's a famine and you decide to take upon yourself some form of mini fast. You say, because there's a famine, I want to fast also. I want to limit my food intake. That's great. It's a great thing. And Reish Lakish says, like the Rishami, Asur L'Adam L'Shamish Mitaso B'Shnei Ravon, a person is not allowed to engage in intimacy during a famine. And it's different if you don't have children, just like the Rishami. But then the Gemara says, Tana Rabban, and here's the main source for this evening. Bizman She Yisrael Shiruin B'Tza'ar, if Klal Yisrael is Sharoi B'Tza'ar, not an Eis Tzara, but Sharoi B'Tza'ar, which is what we are in. We are, say, drowning in pain. We are experiencing deep pain. And Uperish Echad, someone decides to separate himself, man. He says, I don't want to feel the pain right now. Ba'in Shnei Malach Ashares, two angels come. Shemalavalo La'adim, Umanachim Lo Yedeim Al Rosho. Two angels put their hands on this guy's head. Ba'omrim Ploni Zesh, Uperish Min Hatzibur, this guy who separated himself from the community. Al Yir'eh B'Nechamas Tzibur, he won't merit to see the comfort of the community. And the Gemara continues and says, when the Tzibor is in pain, Al Yomer Adam, a person should not say, Eilech Lebesi, I'll go to my house. V'ochel, I'll eat. V'eshte, I'll drink. V'shalom Alecha Nafshi, and everything will be fine. And the Gemara says insulting things to this person. Very derogatory remarks about a person who closes his eyes off from the pain of Klal Yisrael and decides to just ignore the facts. And the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us this. Last week's Parsha. Moshe's hands were up, we were winning the war against the Malik. His hands were down, we were losing. And they brought him an Evan to sit on, just like Hashem's stone in this week's Parsha. Moshe had a stone in last week's Parsha. And asked the Gemara, did Moshe not have a couch? Did he not have a pillow to sit on? A cushion, something? But Moshe said, how can I sit on something comfortable when Klal Yisrael is in pain? Yisrael Ashar Mitzar, Afani Ayah Imam Mitzar. V'chol HaMitzar, Atzma Mitzibur, anyone who engages in the pain of the Klal, Zoche V'ro B'Nachem HaTzibur, will merit to see the comfort of the Tzibur. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, I don't have the right to sit on a couch right now. Klal Yisrael needs me to feel their pain. I don't feel comfortable being comfortable right now. Whoa. Now, I'm going to zoom out for a second. There was a family that came to Fairlawn because they couldn't take living in Israel. The sirens got to them, and the kids were freaking out. And they had an Airbnb in Fairlawn for like a month or so. And they said they canceled their flight multiple times. We hosted these holy Jews in our dining room on a Shabbos meal. And they were telling me and my wife, we couldn't bring ourselves to leave. And we canceled this trip multiple times, but we also could not stay. Our life was disrupted in an unusually dramatic way. We needed to be normal and breathe for a little bit. So we just came here to breathe. And then they went back. They weren't escaping the pain of Klal Yisrael. And they just needed to live. And they couldn't even bring themselves to leave. And it was a thing. Some Israelis needed just to live a little bit. Not to chill. Not to party. But to live. Just to live. Whoa. So I don't think anyone should come out necessarily and say anything too specific about how to practice this. Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't sit on a comfortable chair. That doesn't mean that we're not allowed to watch the Super Bowl this Sunday, right? Sometimes people come out and say very specific things. What I'm going to argue here is that everyone should interpret this halacha in their own way. It should be personal. And I'll tell you a very holy thing. So Nachi Gordon was saying, maybe don't post pictures on social media of your family vacation because, you know, there are people fighting in Gaza right now. Like, don't, at least don't post it. Now, I'll tell you an American spin. From an American perspective, that's very, very, very holy. Someone told me that they were going to go to, we'll say, a warmer environment for winter break. You know, people go to Mexico or Florida, whatever. Caribbean, you know, one of these places where you associate with the beach. And they said, I couldn't bring myself to do that this winter break. So we went skiing instead. Because if on winter break I still have to bundle up, that's not like fully vacation. Now again, the cynical Israeli response is, ooh, poor baby. Like, I'm in Khan Yunis while you have to go skiing, right? However, I thought that was one of the holiest things I've heard since the war. Well, here you have a family. Listen, we're going to go on vacation because, you know, we're going to go on vacation. But we're going to tone it down. Many of the local Rabbanim before winter break spoke about this concept of try to tone it down, do something, but everyone on their own level. And
Rabbi Markowitz said, take some time for vacation to think about these things.
Right? Just to think about it. That's what he said. Take time to think about it. That's what Markowitz said.
To think about it or to, you know.
How'd you hear him? You dive into the main shul once? What is this? Oh, like, wait a minute. Are you like the guy? Oh, you know why? There was one. I know exactly why. The Shabbos before winter break, what happened? I mean, Mark was davened in Hashkam Minyan, and I was the one who davened the main shul. I give Adam a bracha. He should have only nachas from all of his children and grandchildren. I force you, Adam. I was the culprit. I davened in the main shul that Shabbos. Right, very good. And that was the Shabbos before winter break. It makes perfect sense. Okay, so Adam Karp is innocent as always. Now, Tosfos speaks about Adam Karp here. He says, okay. You want to tell me not to have marital intimacy during a famine? You know, like Yocheved was born during a famine. So clearly, what does that mean? Yocheved's parents were together. Because when was Yocheved born? On the way down to Egypt, i.e. during the famine, like when Klal Yisrael needed to leave Israel because of the famine. So clearly Yocheved's parents were together during the famine. So says Tosfos, an amazing idea, and this is quoted by Poskim. The Gemara doesn't mean to say that everybody has to engage in this behavior. It's only if you want to engage in this behavior. Like Yosef. You want to be a chassid like Yosef? That's great. Al Ashar B'nai Adam, you don't have to do this. And that's the language, mitzvah. It's a mitzvah meaning not an obligation, not a chiyuv. It's mitzvah doesn't mean a chiyuv. Mitzvah means it's a nice practice. That's how Tosfos understands it. Again, many poskim as well. And that really does fit because a uniquely sensitive person will feel different and won't be able to do certain things because they just naturally feel the pain. But this isn't Shulchan Aruch. The Gemaras we just quoted about it's a mitzvah maybe to be poorish from one's wife during a famine, again, is found again in the halachas of fasting and Tisha B'Av and those halachas. And The halacha in the Shulchan Aruch is anyone who separates from the tzibur won't merit to see the nechama. And if you do join in their pain, you will see the nechama. While then, now, there's a very technical machlokas. What about the leil of the tzvila, a mikvah evening? So the Magen Avraham says, even if it was the night of the mikvah, but many poskim disagree, it's quoted in the Mishnah Berura. Okay, so he says, certainly nowadays it's not really a shnas ravon, whatever, if it's a different pain, you could be mekil. And again, our poskim have been mekil. But let's focus on something a little bit more practical. What does it mean to separate yourself from the tzibur? Says the Mishnah Berura, we're only talking about someone who's able to help, and he separates from his opportunity because he could have helped and he didn't. So like the post can discuss a man who like goes in the middle of the war zone where he doesn't know what he's doing. Like, don't do that. Don't put yourself into danger. Be, oh, well, I need to be with the tzibur, you know, in their pain. No. Stay off the battlefield and don't die if you don't know what you're doing. But says the Mishnah Berura, if you're able to help with like tefillah, fasting, tzedakah, so you know what? You contribute in your own way. So Baruch Hashem, we'll call it the tzedakah community, stepped up big time since October 7th. And the tefillah community stepped up big time. And Tinus also, Rabbi Rothwax, tomorrow, and Beth Aaron, grew up in our shul, said, is Yom Kippur Katan tomorrow? Why not try again? They've been doing it consistently. The day before Rosh Chodesh, we'll fast, we'll have a special mincha. Let's do it. Wow. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan brings down this halacha, and he says, again, exactly what I want to just point out, that v'rak im omdim b'makom sakana, if you're in a dangerous place, eino mechuyav sheyamod hu gamkein es atma b'makom sakana. As I just said, I just want to make it clear, you don't put yourself in danger, but you help in any way you can. Okay, beautiful. What we want to do now, again, is highlight the fact that we are engaging. We are experiencing, rather, an Ace Sarah. And I'm going to read to you from my phone for a second, because tomorrow, on Erev Rosh Chodesh, here, this is from the Yeshiva World News, Erev Rosh Chodesh, mass tefillah, pain of bereaved relatives, cries of hostages, families are unbearable. So here's what the article says. The Ger Rebbe and the Chief Rabbi of Israel, Hagaon Harav Yitzchak Yosef, will lead together in an Atzeres tefillah with the attendance of many other Rabbanim to call for Rachmei Shemaim on Am Yisrael at 3:30 p.m. on Thursday, Erev Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph. Thousands of Jews are expected to participate in the tefillah. In a letter published by Harav Yosef, he writes that, here it is, Am Yisrael is currently experiencing a difficult era with the murderous incidents of October 7th engraved in everyone's hearts. A cruel enemy that will stop at nothing seeks to destroy, kill, and murder youths and the elderly, babies, and women. The suffering and grief of the bereaved families is unbearable. The cries of the families of the hostages pierces every heart. The healer of all broken hearts should heal their brokenness. And meanwhile, a difficult war is being waged from the south to the north. And he writes, therefore, I call on the tzibur, the daven, etc. And he, even on the bottom, they wrote, Hagon HaRav Avigdor Nevenzahl joined other Gedol Yisrael on Wednesday in calling for the tzibur to participate in the tefillah writing. This is Rav Nevenzahl. Our obligation at this difficult time is to cry out to Avinu Sheva Hashemayim. A letter from Rav Nevenzahl written, I'm looking right at it right now. So halachically, this is the time to be with the tzibur. And this creates a tension. Because where's the tzibur and who's the tzibur? There's a wild tshuva of the Be'er Moshe. He, Baruch Hashem, was a survivor of the Holocaust. And he makes it to New York. He dies in 1997. And he writes that you have to be with your tzibur. And if that's where you are, you can't leave. So he says, let's say you live in a place where they're fasting and you leave that location. So you still have to fast. V'lachein aben chutz la'aretz, who leaves chutz la'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. But he plans on going back home to his, you know, house in New Jersey. And he hears that in Eretz Yisrael, when he's there, he says, oh my gosh, in Fair Lawn, they made a fast day. He has to what? He has to be with them. And similarly, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael they make a tainus, you know what? What do you have to do? He says, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, that shouldn't affect people. Meaning, the idea was that you have to be part of your tzibur. He says if a ben chutz la'aretz is an Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, they make a fast day, shelo tavu chayv li'sa'anos imam, he has to join in their pain. And what I want to point out here is that traditionally one might have thought is that there were two communities. There's the Eretz Yisrael community and the chutz la'aretz community. And that's clear in this tshuva. But that's unacceptable. In the year 2024, there's no such thing as a contrast between the Eretz Yisrael community and the American community. That's not a thing. Right now, we're Klal Yisrael. You want to say it's because of the internet and social media, but their pain is closer to home, both practically. There are people who live in Fairlawn who are literally in Gaza right now. There are people who we danced with in Simchas Torah who are literally in Gaza right now. And it's mamish close to home. And also, beyond the people in our community, it is our community. And when Rav Nevenzahl writes to the Jewish community to fast tomorrow, we're at the point of the war where that hits home to the Jews in Israel, and it's not hitting home anymore to the Jews in America. That's where we're at. Where it's easier for us to fade out of the war and tap into the Super Bowl. And I think that's why I'm bringing this up this evening. It's time to talk about this because this is when we need to hear it. It's very hard for us to tap into this war right now unless we're very uniquely close to the war. But I want to tell you an amazing idea. Sometimes in halacha also, the American community and Israeli community bond. In the Halicha Shlomo, a little taste of Adar, a little taste of Purim, we're almost there. Even though you made Purim Asur Behesped, when Rav Moshe Feinstein passed away, they brought his Aron to Beren Eretz Yisrael. It was the 15th of Adar. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, put his coffin in the middle of Yerushalayim so everyone could go be maspid him. It's the Gadol Ador. Even though it's Purim, we're going to go. And there's an amazing quote from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. They all were bothered. What should we party tonight? Should we not party tonight? It's Purim. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said, Eich nismach, how could we be happy? B'shah she'agon Rav Moshe mutal ben shemayim la'aretz. How can we rejoice when Rav Moshe is between this world and the next? It's not possible right now. And that connected the American community and the Israeli community. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach did not view Rav Moshe Feinstein as an American gadol from New York. He understood he was a gadol b'Yisrael. And it's a lot easier for someone on Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's side of the ocean to understand that we're a part of Klal Yisrael. And our job is to embrace this war as our tzara. That's our job. Our job is not to forget the tzara. And really the truth is, in halacha, we should always be a little bit limited. What's the halacha? That we can't forget about the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. You know, the Gemara lists many things. Maybe leave a part of your wall unpainted. And don't maybe have a full meal. The halacha is that if you have a massive meal, at least hold back a little bit. You know, the Rama writes famously, you have the chuppah, glass-breaking minhag, etc. But the Moriksia writes there's an exception. At Purim, you don't have to remember Avelis Yerushalayim. Purim, you could go all out at your meal. But that doesn't mean you could go out Mamish on Purim, maybe with your meal, but the Gemara in Bracha says, in the name of Shem Bar Yochai, Asr l'adam shemale eschok piv v'olam hazeh. In this world, we're not allowed to be filled with laughter, because what does the Pasuk say? Oz yemale eschok pino l'shunei nerina. Only then will our mouths be filled with rina. When is that? When the Goyim say, Higdil Hashem l'asos yemele. Now, by the way, what's that Pasuk also saying? When Hashem returns our what? Right, those who are in captive. Those are when the captives come home. Literally, the pasuk can tell them that the Gemara is darshaning. That's when we can smile. That's when we can laugh. So the Shulchan Aruch says we really should not laugh a belly laugh. Asr la'adam shema lepiv schok ba'olam hazeh. We shouldn't really be, quote unquote, overly joyful without the Beis HaMikdash. But even in the times of Beis HaMikdash, is held true because there's a concept of not being overly joyful unless the ultimate geula is here. But the Aruch Shulchan says you're allowed to kick back for a little bit. He says, only vizman meruba imacherim. Aval schok ba'alma leislanba. A mere enjoyment, a little laughing is okay. So I would call that a Super Bowl party. A few hours Super Bowl party is not usher. But maybe at the same time, we can't at least forget to do something maybe a little different this year, just whether emotionally, physically, practically. Let's not let the Super Bowl get in the way of Klal Yisrael. Let's daven.